gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome into The Dean's List. Christy Dean is here, and we're going to go with our new format. Again, just trying to deal with a number of news stories. It's not to say, Christy, that we won't do other shows where we just deal with one topic, but we're going to try to hit, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 12 today.
12 is a little ambitious.
That's a little ambitious, so don't count on it. Maybe 3.
Sometimes okay? 3 is even ambitious.
Well, that's true, because we do get into this worldview analysis, which is what we're all about.
Yep.
Because we want Christians to think, and to think
biblically.
That's right. That's what we're about. And I just, you know, full disclosure, I have not clued you in, you know, as in terms of or as to what we're going to be talking about, the stories. I'm going to hit you cold.
Right.
I want
right.
some hashtag authenticity.
Okay.
Okay? That's what I want. Kathleen Parker, you know who this woman is?
I probably should.
Well, not necessarily. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper columnist.
Okay.
She appeared on a CNN panel recently. Now, this particular story I'm bringing up, it's a little old. It's a week or so old, but I think it's informative.
Okay.
And so I think it's important for the Christian community at one level, though not overly important. There's some other things I want to get to that are more important. But this is important if you put it in a larger context. So let me, you know, quit talking. Anyway, columns are syndicated nationally by the Washington Post. She, you know, she's all over the place. She appears in, you know, more than 400 media outlets, but she said something the other night on CNN. It was unbelievable. She was talking about, with a panel, she was talking about Ted Cruz and something Ted Cruz said. I'm just going to read this, okay? She said, one observation. Now, this is Kathleen Parker. These are her words. Live television. CNN. She said, I don't know. This seems to have slipped through the cracks a little bit, but Ted Cruz said something that I found rather astonishing. He said, you know, it's time for the body of Christ to rise up and support me. Now, by the way, he didn't say exactly that. What he was saying was that he wanted, you know, the body of Christ to rise up and support candidates that hold their values. But nevertheless, same language, similar language at least. So here she says, it's rather astonishing. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up and support me. She goes on to say, Kathleen Parker, she says, I don't know anyone who takes their religion seriously who thinks that Jesus should rise from the grave and resurrect himself to serve Ted Cruz. I know so many people who were offended by that comment. And you know, if you want to talk about grandiosity and messianic self-imagery, I think he makes Ted Cruz, or rather, I think Ted Cruz makes Donald Trump look rather sort of like a gentle lamb.
Well, wow.
So I'm going to pull McLaughlin. What do you think about that? I almost said, what say you? That's O'Reilly, not McLaughlin. But anyway, you get the idea.
That's really interesting, because obviously she took Ted Cruz literally when he was referring to the body of Christ as the church.
Yeah.
And so she really thought that he was saying that Jesus is going to rise from the dead, and it's about time Jesus rose up and supported me. Where's he at?
That's right.
That is funny.
Yeah, and sad. Am I right?
Yes. What did the people on CNN say?
Well, I saw the video clip, and it didn't go very far after that. Some of them, it looked like they were kind of looking around, like, what's going on here?
Did anybody set her straight?
I don't know. I mean, I just saw the clip. I just saw the clip. And a couple of points that I wanted to make and get your reaction. I mean, first off, is this what passes for an educated person in today's culture? I mean, she had to go through, if she's from here.
Right.
When I say here, I mean America. You know, she had to go through the school system. She had to go to college, right? She's on CNN, syndicated columnist. And she's unaware, first of all, that Christians, even if she's not a Christian, okay. And I know Christianity isn't taught in schools anymore, but Western civilization,
right.
Hello? I mean, Western civilization shaped by Christianity, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she's not aware that the Christian, the central core, the central tenet of the Christian faith is that Jesus has already risen from the dead?
Right.
She's not aware of that? And she thinks Ted Cruz is calling on Jesus that Ted Cruz, who clerked for William Rehnquist, you know, who's an attorney, who's a senator, you know, a sitting senator, he's running for president, that he would call on Jesus to literally rise from the dead. And I mean, unbelievable.
Well, there are a lot of things that Christians say, phrases that are normal in our everyday conversations that you don't really realize how they might sound to an unbeliever. They might think, oh, that's weird. What are they even talking about?
Well, sure, that's true. We say a lot of stuff that I wouldn't expect others to know what we're talking about.
Right.
But that ain't one of them.
Well, maybe.
I might not expect her to understand the full connotation of the body of Christ.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on her. But here's
no,
what
you're
she,
right. To say that on CNN, that's
a
little...
I mean, she's incredulous. And then she says she knows a lot of people who are offended by that comment. Really? Now, who are these people that were offended?
I don't know.
I mean, okay, people might have been offended that, you know, someone called on Christians to, you know, support him instead
right.
of everyone else.
That's what I was thinking.
But that's not what she meant.
That's what I thought she was going with originally.
No, I think, you know, what she was getting at is that Ted Cruz would call on Jesus
right.
himself. To raise himself up and support Ted Cruz. But anyway.
You would think that a lot of people would be upset about that if that's what he was saying. So she's got a point there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they would.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. Is she not out of... Listen, just by virtue of her ignorance, is she not out of touch with the vast majority of American voters? Here's what I mean by that. I understand that our culture is far more diverse than it used to be, and I understand that a lot of people who claim to be Christians are not necessarily born again.
Right.
But there are still a significant number of people in America who call themselves Christians. Right now it's about 70%, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, do they know that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Well, if you call yourself a Christian, I would assume so. Maybe not. But the point is, she by that statement, she's out of touch with a lot of people in this country, and she's commenting on, well, Ted Cruz and probably one of the most significant voting blocks that he's going to get comes from that evangelical
right.
community. She ought to understand, as a political analyst, doesn't she understand the different voting blocks she's dealing with? Whether it's the Hispanic vote, whether it's the black vote, whether it's the evangelical vote?
Yeah.
Oh, well. But
maybe it was an honest mistake.
Well, maybe so. But see, here's the reality. If Western civilization has been shaped by Christian, how was Western civilization shaped by Christianity? Well, I mean, the gospel started in the Middle East, or the church, rather.
Right.
And then the gospel spread mm-hmm. into Africa. Paul wanted to go to Spain, so whether he or someone else got to Spain, it spread into Europe, then it spread to America. You know, it's spread, and our whole culture has been influenced by that. Now, it's eroding these days, but our whole culture has been influenced that. Seems to me clearly just another piece of evidence that we have some work to do.
Right.
We have some work to do. That was my comment.
Right.
Gosh. On a related story, I tell you what, I'm going to come to the related story. No, I was going to come to it after the break, but...
Well, you got to make a decision.
I'm going to do something else. Yeah, how much time do I have, Gary? Like 3 minutes. Let me start in on this.
All right.
I might do the related story later. I might not.
Okay.
Let's talk
about something.
I'm going to do what I want. We're going to, talk about something. This is from theweek.com. All right. Michael Brendan Daugherty, here's the title. You ready for this? How an obscure advisor to Pat Buchanan You know who Pat Buchanan is, the conservative commentator now.
Yes.
Used to be in the Nixon White House and ran for president. Was it back when, I don't know, Bush won the first time? Bush 2 won, W-O-N, the first time. Anyway, here's the title. How an obscure advisor to Pat Buchanan predicted the wild Trump campaign in 1996.
Huh, really?
20 years ago. Now, let me read from the piece. Are you ready? Imagine giving this advice to a Republican presidential candidate. What if you stop calling yourself a conservative and instead just promise to make America great again? Okay.
He said this in 1996?
Yeah. Now this is a paraphrase from the author, Michael Brendan Daugherty.
Okay.
He's going to get to some real quotes in a minute, but I'm just reading Daugherty.
Okay.
What if you dropped all this leftover 19th century piety about the free market and promised to fight the elites who were selling out American jobs? What if you just stopped talking about reforming Medicare and Social Security and instead said that the elites were failing to deliver better health care at a reasonable price? What if, instead of vainly talking about restoring the place of religion in society, something that appeals only to a narrow slice of middle America, you simply promised to restore the middle American core, the economic and cultural losers of globalization, to their rightful place in America? What if you said you would restore them as the chief clients of the American state under your watch, being mindful of their interest when regulating the economy or negotiating trade deals? You understand what he's saying?
A little bit.
He's not saying, hey, what if you stand firm on conservative principles,
right,
or libertarian principles or liberal principles or whatever the principles you happen to have?
Sounds like
Pat Buchanan is conservative.
He's saying, what if you stood up for what you think everyone else is thinking?
Well, what if you stand up for what this particular constituency wants?
Right.
They have not been getting what they want.
Right.
But what if you promise to give them what they want? It's not about principles. It's about what they want. Whether what they want is principled or not, whether it contradicts certain principles they claim to have or not. Now, that was advice that columnist Samuel Francis gave to Pat Buchanan in a 1996 essay from Household to Nation in Chronicles magazine. Now, Pat Buchanan rejected that because he's principled.
Right.
But is this not the essence of Trump's campaign?
It is.
That's the essence of Trump's campaign. Now, we're going to say a lot more about that, and we're going to analyze it from a Christian perspective. Right?
Yes.
Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back in about, what, 2 minutes? I'll be back. Stay tuned.
But if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
If mom and dad are not in agreement, it discredits mom, it discredits dad, but it also discredits the God they claim to serve. And so their son or daughter is going to go looking for truth outside.
The question of unity. Another of the top questions parents ask and will answer. I'm Rich Rosl. Join Trace Embry and me next time on License to Parent.
License to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Why should you try a free bottle of Blueberry Detox? Are you interested in staying lean and trim? Would you like to promote cleansing and regularity? What about boosting your energy levels? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, we want to send you a free bottle of Blueberry Detox. Every scoop of organic Blueberry Detox is bursting with organic superfruits, berries, probiotics, and fiber. Blueberry Detox does it all, supporting your energy, regularity, healthy cholesterol, and more. It can even help help you feel less hungry between meals. Plus, Blueberry Detox is certified organic and gluten-free. We guarantee once you try Blueberry Detox, you won't believe the difference. That's why we'll let you try it for free. For your free bottle, call 1-800-775-1039. That's 1-800-775-1039. Just pay shipping and get your free bottle today. 1-800-775-1039. Call now. 1-800-775-1039.
Warning.
Our programs
can have a transforming effect
on your life.
You found Christian Talk 660.
Hey, that's true, but the politicians are going to promise to give you what you want. That's what politics is all about.
I know. It's really very frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating, and we're going to talk about this, but the vast majority of the American public, they really don't have a whole lot of principles that they stand on in terms of public policy and who and what they're going to vote for.
They have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, they have a lot of opinion, but mostly it comes down to voting for what's going to help me the most.
Right.
And this is my beef. It's my beef. This is my beef with, you know, a lot of the Republicans, the Democrats, all of them. We both parties are willing to use big government. They just use it for different things. Democrats use big government for their agenda. Republicans use big government for their agenda. But the Republicans always claim limited government, but they don't believe in limited government anymore. Right. They really don't. But anyway, let's get back to this this advice that was given Pat Buchanan 20 years ago out of this, I don't know, what was it? It was columnist Samuel Francis. It was an essay in Chronicles Magazine entitled From Household to Nation. And I'm quoting from, again, Michael Brendan Daugherty. And Daugherty summarizes it this way, to simplify Francis' theory. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
All right, so he does it this way. He says, there are a number of Americans who are losers from a process of economic globalization that enriches a transnational global elite. Okay, so you got a transnational global elite, they're enriched, then you got Americans who are losers as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Further, these middle Americans see jobs disappearing to Asia and increased competition from immigrants.
Isn't that exactly what Donald Trump was talking about in the debate?
Yes, he was. China.
China.
We're gonna put a tariff on all that stuff coming from China. It's called protectionism. There's just one problem. Who pays for it?
The people.
Yeah, the consumers. That's right. Say Japan can, I'm just making this up, say Japan can sell oranges to Americans for $3 a bushel, but you know, Florida orange growers wanting to get $8 a bushel. Which oranges are you gonna buy?
Japan.
That's who I'm going to buy. It's all about cheap. It's all about getting those oranges for three.
Do they grow oranges in Japan?
I'm just making this up. I have no idea. I'm just using it as an illustration. But the protectionist tariff says we're going to protect Americans. We're going to protect those Florida orange growers. So we're going to put a $6 tariff on those Japanese oranges. So when they come over here, they're now $9 a bushel. And everybody says, yay, President, you're protecting Americans.
I bet Japanese oranges are good.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, there's orange groves all over Japan. They're right down the street there in Tokyo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
I derailed you.
You derailed me.
You were like, yay, President.
Well, I'm just saying, thanks for making me pay $9 or $8 a bushel instead of $3, because I'm not going to buy Japanese oranges for $9. I'm going to buy the Florida oranges for $8. But see, you've protected this little constituency, this little lobbying group, but it costs the rest of us. And you do that all over the place. That's why our prices are so high, or at least that's one of the reasons. But see... What's Trump doing? He's telling it like it is. But see, he's not using those kinds of illustrations. What he's saying is, I'm going to protect Americans. I'm going to get those Chinese. Right?
And
people buy into that, number one, because they're selfish, and number two, because they don't know what's going on. All right, so anyway, let me just read one more little quote here, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit further. Most of those middle Americans feel threatened by cultural liberalism, at least the type that sees middle Americans as loathsome white bigots. But they're also threatened by conservatives who would take away their Medicare hand their Social Security earnings to fund managers in Connecticut and cut off their unemployment, too. Now, you talk about contradiction, right? This is why so-called conservatives, you know, they want the protectionist tariffs because we're going to protect Americans, but they also want their Medicare, which is big government welfare. They also want their unemployment, which is big government welfare, right?
Mm-hmm.
And see, what's so funny is that a lot of the commentators out there are I mean, look, when Sarah Palin endorsed Donald Trump, and I'm going to get to this. I got another piece. Probably be on the next show.
Okay.
But when Sarah Palin endorsed Donald Trump, the Tea Party folk were livid.
Mm-hmm.
How could she do this? She sold us out. Is she going to reject true conservative principles? I got news for you. Sarah Palin never was conservative. She's just like Trump. She's a populist.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and this is the point that I want to make. You know, everybody says, what's Trump's appeal? Well, he tells it like it is. He says what everybody wants to hear. Well, that's true, but let's put it in ideological terms. What is Trump? Is he a conservative? No. Now, does he say certain things now that are considered conservative? Well, sure. But he also says some things that, for those in the know, would be considered liberal, and then some things that are liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But why does he do that? Because he's a populist.
Yep.
Just like Sarah Palin.
Yep.
Meaning, what's populism?
Placating to what the people want.
That's it. Giving the common man, the everyday man, the average man, you know, middle America, middle class. Look, that's where I'm at in terms of, you know, the demographic I fit into. Mm. I'm just saying, giving us what we want. And so Trump's campaign is a populist campaign, of course. And I'm going to say something surprising in a moment, I hope. But before I get there, he's also running not only on populism, but nationalism. Right? Make America great. That's mm-hmm. We're going to make America great again. Did you notice in the debate when he didn't have an answer for something? Let me tell you this. And I say this. And he put up his hand, you know, and raised his finger. I love the way. I mean, I do. I like the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
Not voting for him. Just saying.
Right.
Although, never mind, I'll say what I was going to say in just a moment.
Okay.
But the point I'm saying is his answer, we're going to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they challenged him on the whole, you know, banning all the Muslims coming in. And we could talk about mm-hmm. that too. But what was his answer? Put up his finger, looked into the camera, security. That's his answer.
Yep.
I'm going to make America secure, you know. I wish this was not radio because I'm doing the hand
right,
motions.
It's perfect. He's also got the little American flag pin on his on his jacket. That was a nice touch.
That's right. So it's all about America. We're better. We don't win anymore. We lose, but I'm going to make us win. I'm going to make good deals. Now,
by the way,
yeah,
the second most widely produced citrus fruit in Japan is a form of an orange. It's similar to a mandarin orange.
You gotta love this younger generation that has just got all the information at their fingertips.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you pay thousands of dollars for, you know, you're watching the NFL football game and you got people whispering in the headset of the commentators and with all the stats. You get it right.
That's according to Wikipedia, and we all know how reliable Wikipedia is, so take that or leave it.
Oh, no. I'm sure I read that illustration somewhere years ago, so obviously. But I just, you know, at my age, it is literally the case. I have forgotten more than, you know, I don't know, forgotten more than I ever thought I'd forget. Forgotten more than I thought I knew. But anyway, so good. They produce oranges.
Yep. Well, they're not called oranges, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They're similar.
Yeah.
Can you get them for $3 a bushel?
I didn't look that up. Let's move on.
I have no idea what oranges cost.
I don't know.
Mom gets them. I'm like, who was that didn't know the price of a loaf of bread way back in the day?
I don't know.
It was one of the presidents, wasn't it? He was criticized for it?
George.
Was it George?
H.
Yeah, Bush won.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, golly. I know what the point was, but I don't know. I don't even know what a loaf of bread costs. It doesn't mean I'm rich.
Means someone else buys your food for you.
I don't do the shopping. I don't watch the prices right. I'm at work.
Okay.
Question is, you know, here's Daugherty, you know, talking about the advice that was given Buchanan. Buchanan rejected it, but this is what Trump is doing. So what are we to make of this? I mean, Trump, everybody says he's not conservative. Okay, duh. He's not liberal either. In fact, you know, I've heard analysis, and this is some time back. I guess this is, well, it doesn't matter who it's from, but he said, I'm not even sure Trump thinks in those terms, and I'm not sure either. And, of course, people who sort of, and again, I'm not saying he's a deep thinker. He's certainly smart, but whether he's a deep thinker, I'm not saying that. He doesn't have a command of a lot of things on that debate stage, that's for sure. But he's not an idiot. He's not shallow like Rubio. You know, inside sources say Rubio is not a very intelligent guy. I don't know. I shouldn't criticize Rubio. That's ugly. That's unchristian. Forgive me.
I forgive
you. That's like secondhand. Rubio might be the smartest guy on the planet, and I don't even know it.
Yes.
I'm sincerely asking forgiveness from my audience on that one. Letting my bias come in. Okay. But anyway, here's the point. Trump's a smart guy. Whether or not he's a deep thinker, I don't know. But I do know that there are some deep thinkers who certainly wouldn't characterize themselves as conservative or liberal because, you know, they're wrestling with ideas that may not fall neatly into someone's category. But here's the deal. I think that we have a huge problem in Christian America. A lot of Christians, a lot of evangelicals are supporting Trump. And a lot of other evangelicals are wondering how in the world they could do that. Now, some of them are asking how in the world could evangelicals support Trump because of their Christian commitment to character, morality, those kinds of things. I mean, let's be honest. Trump's not been the most moral guy.
Right.
You know, as someone said, he's traded in, two wives for newer models or something like that.
I don't know.
Literally. There's a play on words there. Models. Get it?
Yeah.
Anyway, never mind.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh. Now, some evangelicals are objecting on those grounds. Other evangelicals object because he's not a, quote-unquote, principled conservative. Okay? But does that mean that the evangelicals are voting for Trump? Does that mean they're liberal? I don't think so. Maybe some. Does that mean that they don't care about his character? I don't know. Some of them just want to blow the place up. I mean, the establishment.
Right.
You know, they want something new. But I think it comes honestly. I think most of them are voting for Trump honestly. What do I mean by that? Because he's going to give them what they want.
He says what they want to hear.
Yeah. And it comes down, they might be totally contradictory. They have no principles in terms of public policy. It's all about what I want, and that is not a Christian position. They hold it honestly, but that's a problem. Now, can we talk more about this issue because it's such a big issue? Can we do it on the next broadcast as well and move on to?
It's your show.
We're going to do it. We're going to get into more stuff on the list. Join us next time.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.